Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is soon to come.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart in order.
What you gonna do?
God is
walking the
way.
What you gonna do?
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 Because we know that look like evil
is all around us. I mean, you can't buy a newspaper. You can't buy a magazine. You can't turn on the radio. You can't turn on the TV without some tragic happening around this planet. I mean, there once was a sitcom that said, "Give me a break." Can we ever get a break? I mean, every time you look around, it's tragedy striking some family somewhere on this planet. That lets us know, God, that your word is what it said it is. And you said that there will be wars and rumors of wars, and we're having that. You said it was going to be moms against daughters, we're having that. Sons against fathers, we're having that. And people that ears would wax cold, we're having that. They don't want to hear the truth, but they would rather for you to tell them a lie than to tell them the truth. But I'm here to serve you notice that I come to tell you the good news of Jesus Christ. And God said in his word, he said, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone. So we know that God do not want us lying. And why should we lie when the truth will do? We know that the truth is sufficient. And God, when he changed us, he changed our mindset. And when we was in the world, you know, we did worldly things. We sworn and we told fibs and we did a whole lot of things. But when God came into our lives and took up residence in our heart, God created in us a new heart. And the things that we once did, we don't have a desire to do those things anymore. We don't have a desire to act out and lie and cheat, whatever we were doing, you know. God changed us. So we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. So anyway, like I was saying, God, we know that you are soon to return. The writing is on the wall. The writing is on the wall. And we have to work wisely. Because when darkness comes, the Bible says no one can see how to work. And so, God, until you crack those clouds, we'll be coming and going as pilgrims through this fair land. And Father God, I'm asking you to anoint these lips of clay this morning. Lord, I'm asking you, hallelujah, Jesus, to just anoint these lips of clay to bring a rhema word to someone out there that has a broken heart and they don't know which way to turn, God. Grace me, God, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those individuals, wherever they might be, that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls, God. We be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and all the praise, God. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' mighty name. And let the church say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I will be with you 45 minutes on the clock. We know that the clock is yet ticking right along. And so we're going to do, at least we're going to try to wrap up our segment on the taking a close and personal look into the life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you've talked about just about his entire life while he was here on planet Earth. Talked about his birth, talked about his childhood, his adulthood, his ministry, and so now we will continue on and try to finish this out. And tonight, we'll be talking about how Jesus won the victory, hallelujah, over Satan. And we'll be talking about the victory, hallelujah, over death, and we'll be talking about the resurrection. And then we have the bonus, which is the glorification. And so we're going to move right along because I want to, try to get through this and then try to bring some of you that heart are hurting on this morning, try to encourage you a little bit. And so, and I just want to set the record straight. Now, I said on my last program, you listen, you obey Michael, but I wasn't saying anything down to Michael because God knows I love him. He was a beautiful humanitarian, one of the biggest humanitarian on the planet. I don't know if anyone has given the magnitude that Michael Jackson has given, but I was just using him as an example, not tarnishing his name or his demeanor at all, because I love him and I love them as a whole, their families, beautiful people. But anyway, I just want to set the record straight on that. So anyway, we're going to go right now on into our scheduled program at this time. And like I said, I'm going to try to get on through this so I can try to bless someone out there with some hymns of Zion. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Lord, we just thank you on this morning for just giving us an opportunity, God, to be yet here in the land of the living. Because, God, I'll tell you, if it wasn't for your grace and mercy, where would we be? Where would we be, God? I'll tell you, we'd be in a cold grave somewhere. Wasn't for your grace and your mercy. All right, so we're going to talk about sacrifice for sin. Now, we're told that Jesus' death on the cross was a sacrificial death. Fact that became evidence, according to John, right at the start of Jesus' ministry, when John the Baptist referred to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That scripture reading is coming out of John 1:29. The clearest evidence that Jesus understood his own death in this way is to be found in the account of the Last Supper. There Jesus drew on and the background as he handed round the bread and wine. And then Jesus took bread and gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and he gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." That scripture reading is found in the law of Matthew 26:26-28. We know that the sacrificial blood of animals had been shed both at the forming of covenants between God and his people, and when they were renewed, that's in the law of Genesis 15, and then Exodus 24. And in Jesus' death, to which the bread and the wine pointed a new covenant relationship, it was established between God and his people, and which his people would know inwardly the law of God and experience God with them in a new and more personal way. That scripture reading is found in Jeremiah 31:31 and Hebrew 8. We know that the relationship between his death and the removal of sin drawing an understanding of the Old Testament. The sacrificial system in which different sacrifices were offered to meet different needs. The apostolic writing regard Christ's redemption work on the cross as fulfillment, the whole sacrificial system. That scripture reading is found in the law of Romans 6:10, Hebrews 7:27, 9:12, Peter 3:18. Jesus died once and for all as a sacrifice of atonement. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Romans 3:25. He brought about reconciliation between the sinners and the Father. That scripture reading is found in the law of Romans 5:11, 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. On the cross, King Jesus representing his people. He was representing you and I. He died to bring salvation. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Galatians 2 and 20. In his death, Jesus stood as Redeemer. In the place of sinful men and women, that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Mark 10 and 45. He met the legal judgment on sin for all who had faith in him. And it is worth nothing here that Luke talks of Jesus dying on a tree. He was probably deliberately reminding the reader that Jesus was thus dying under the curse of the law, Acts 5 and 30, and then 10 and 39. You can see Deuteronomy 21 and 23. And this also point is also made by Paul, who taught that on the cross Jesus died as a curse for us, to redeem us from the curse of the law. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Galatians 3 and 13. In regarding Jesus' death as a fulfillment of the whole sacrificial law of the Old Testament, the time of his death should not be ignored. Jesus died at Passover, suggesting that he is also to be regarded as the fulfillment of the Passover sacrifice. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Luke 22 and 15. This may well have been in the minds of John the Baptist in the law of John 1 and 29, mentioned above, but was certainly in Paul's mind in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. All right, now we're going to go and we're going to talk about the victory over death and sin. The work of Satan and his demonic force is clearly demonstrated in the passion of the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus acknowledged this when he talked to those sent to arrest him and said, "This is your hour when darkness reigns." That's Luke 22 and 53. However, Jesus was also aware that his crucifixion would lead to the downfall of Satan. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And that, my friend, is Satan, our adversary, Lucifer. John 12 and 31. And taking upon himself God's judgment on sin, Jesus has removed the fear of judgment and his penalty of death for all who bow to his authority. These people have now been freed from slavery caused by their fear of death. That's coming out of Hebrews 2 and 15. Indeed, as truly human, Jesus shared in the experience of all people, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil, like I first stated. Death has entered the world as God's judgment on those who follow Satan. Thus, death is the clearest evidence of the sinfulness of men and women, and also become clear evidence of the power of Satan. Remove the judgment of death and the fear that goes with it, and we have the clearest evidence of the defeat of Satan's power in taking death on himself. In his self-sacrifice, Jesus died instead of those who deserve it. Those who do trust in him, serve him, no longer fear death and recognize that Satan's power was broken once and for all on the cross. Jesus' resurrection and ascension to glory have proved that victory, death, could not hold Jesus as the Father raised him to life and lift him to glory. As the Apostle Paul put it, having disarmed the power and authority, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphant over them by the cross. That's because the reading is coming out of the law of Colossians 2 and 15. For all who believe in Jesus, hallelujah, a transfer has occurred. But he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought you and I into the kingdom of the Son he loves. That's coming out of the law of Colossians 1 and 13. All right, now we will talk about Jesus' resurrection. The Bible also teaches that Jesus was raised to life by God the Father. The gospel tells us that the miracle on the resurrection happened on the third day. This is after the crucifixion. The resurrection of Jesus occurred early in the morning, hallelujah, of the first day of the week. And what we now call Easter Day, there is no description of Jesus actually being raised from the dead. Instead, though the stone of the tomb was rolled away by an angel of the Lord. That scripture reading is coming out of the Lord, Matthew 28:2. It reveals that the resurrection has already taken place. The Roman guard on duty at the tomb, hallelujah, at least someone should have stolen the body, fainted, and became like dead men. That's verse 4. Women who had come to the tomb in the early morning were then simply told that he is risen and was going up to Galilee. However, as they were leaving to tell the disciples, Jesus met them and the woman worshiped him before going to tell the disciples what had happened. That scripture reading is coming out of law, Matthew 28:4-9. Different gospel recount different events surrounding that morning. Various attempts have been made to try to link them all together and explain the exact order of events. Whether or not that is possible with the limited information. We know that the order to give us is debatable. However, each of them recount the fact of the resurrection. Jesus had been buried, but now he was seen alive. That is reading is coming out of law, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20. The astounding fact of the resurrection left many questions in the minds of the disciples. Jesus himself helped explain the two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, and that his death had been necessary. Jesus explained that all that had happened was in fulfillment of the scripture. It seemed that the disciples' eyes were deliberately held closed as they failed to recognize Jesus until he prayed with them. Hallelujah, over me. And at that point, he disappeared from the sight. That scripture reading is found in the law of Luke 24:31, 44, and 46. And then Jesus' resurrected body was real enough, and yet it was distinctly different from the frail body that eventually died on the cross. The marks of the nails were there, and yet the resurrection Jesus was able to move about at will, apparently coming and going without being seen to walk between places. That's just reading coming out of John 20:27. John seems to suggest that this by describing the lock of the room where the fearful disciples were hiding, and then simply Jesus came and stood among them. Verse 19. Perhaps this was the same occasion that Luke described in 24:36 and 37. Jesus stood among them, and they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Jesus had to show them his scars to help them realize it was he who stood before them. The extraordinary nature of this miracle is also to be seen in the doubt expressed by Thomas, who refused to believe until he had himself seen the scars. When he did see Jesus and recognize him, Thomas' response indicated the enormous impact this was having on his whole way of thinking. He simply looked at Jesus and ascribing divinity to him. He said, "My Lord and my God." That's John 20:28. Yet, in spite of now living in a body that was more than it had been to the extent that he is recognized as God, Jesus was still human and still had a material body. He could be touched. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Luke 24:39, John 1:1-3. He could be heard. And he ate food. The Bible says he ate food. And then Luke 24:41-42, John 21:12, on several occasions, Jesus is shown to emphasize that even the resurrection happened in accordance with the scripture. So we know that God's word is true. You can put your last bottom dollar on it. And you can also place your life on it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll talk about the witnesses to the resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to, now we know that we're told that there were a number of witnesses. The witnesses of the woman who first came to that tomb in the early morning is recounted with slight differences of detail in all four Gospels. There were witnesses to the empty tomb, both among the disciples like Peter and John, and among the Roman guards who were horrified and feared for their lives. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Matthew 28:11-15. Witness who heard the angel speak. Witness who saw Jesus walking on the road to Emmaus. And then the witness in the upper room among the disciples witnessed to a breakfast on a beach in Galilee. John 21:10-14, and many others, the Apostle Paul, we account from a distance. The importance of those eyewitnesses to this world-changing event in 1 Corinthians 15:5-8. Mentioning that on one occasion, Jesus appeared to over, I believe that's 500 people at the same time. Now, isn't that awesome? 500 people Jesus appeared to at the same time. All right, we know that clock is steady ticking right along. All right, we're going to talk about the significance of the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection vindicated the whole of his mission that had led him to become, hallelujah, flesh. That's your reading is coming out of John 1:14. To live and to suffer and to die in obedience to his Father for the salvation of humanity. The suffering Messiah, the one who had died for sin, was revealed, hallelujah, as the victor over death and the power of the evil one. The resurrection also shows the Father's acceptance of Jesus' sacrifice of atonement for sin and attested to the fulfillment of so many of the Old Testament promises. We know the bodily resurrection of Jesus became central to Christian preaching for all these reasons, but also because it assured them of their own salvation and forgiveness through faith in him. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemy, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. Hallelujah. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? That scripture reading is coming out of Romans 5:9-10. Furthermore, the resurrection became their guarantee that they too, through faith in Christ, would one day be raised bodily and receive eternal life. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Acts 4:2-23, 1 Corinthians 15:12-34, etc. Hallelujah. Well, that time is just ticking, I'm telling you. Woo, and it just looks like I am not going to be able to fit all of this, saints and friends of your life, into today's program. So it looks like I'm going to have to come back one more time to wrap this up. It's such a long and lengthy, you know, thing, but I'm just so delighted and I'm just so glad that I was able to at least, you know, give you some highlights of Jesus' birth and his life and his childhood and his adulthood and his ministry and his resurrection, crucifixion, and his death for our sins. And so I will be able to come back again and to wrap this up. And so I guess we'll leave it right here. We'll leave it right here, and then we're going to come back, and then we will be able to bring it to a closure. Now, that is for certain that the next time we will be able to bring Jesus up close and personal to his closure. And I hope and pray that you enjoy the genealogy of Jesus, his birth, his childhood, adult minister, and his death and resurrection. And I just want you to know that he is our Lord and our Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. He's our soon coming Messiah. And so now I'm going to change the dimension of this program. I'm going to bring to those that have broken hearts on this morning, I want to bring you some enlightened songs of Zion. So I hope and pray that this program has been a blessing to you as your daily walk with God. And if you have any prayer petitions you would like the Oldship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you must certainly encourage to send your correspondence to God House Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the Oldship of Zion. Send your correspondence, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, PO Box 1600, Gilroy, California 95020. Till we meet again across these highways and skyways, you are most certainly encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. And now, we will bring you hymns of Zion to encourage your heart and uplift your spirit. May God bless you. Bye for now.
Through my ashes and my good feet today. me to see things the way you see things. God, help me to be patient.
It's mine.